Well, once again, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good whenever you are listening to this. This is Pastor David speaking to you, and thank you, any and all of you who are tuning in. Over the last few weeks during our midweek devotional time, I've been going through a series on peace. And in that series, we've emphasized that everybody needs peace. Everybody needs peace. We need to feel it internally. And we have noted that for the Christian, biblical peace is not experienced by one magic pill. Rather, it's a collection of ideas that are brought together in combination that produce peace. I've used the analogy of a team or an orchestra. One player or one instrument does not make a team or an orchestra. We could also use the analogy of a recipe. If you're trying to make pancakes tomorrow morning for breakfast, you can't have just an egg, or you can't have just flour, or just baking powder. You need a combination of ingredients to produce the desired result. And the same is true when it comes to this matter of peace. And we focused on several ingredients to our recipe of peace thus far. You can go back and listen to them on our church blog, or shoot me an email or text, and I can make sure that I get them to you. But today we focus on another ingredient, and that is of the future reign of Christ. The future reign of Christ. Now, thus far in thinking about peace, we have focused on our internal, subjective experience of peace. That is to say, how we feel and process our circumstances that drive peace away. And we've tried to do so biblically. But here's the reality. Most of our struggles with peace are based on external realities. Another way of saying that is that we subjectively feel peace or subjectively feel a lack of peace because we objectively face something that stresses our lives. So if you have a spat with your spouse today and are struggling to sleep tonight, you are subjectively feeling a lack of peace because of an objective reality. The objective reality was the fight. The subjective feeling was the stirring in bed as you replay in your mind all the things that happened that caused that fight. If you have a job loss that threatens your livelihood, that objective reality affects our subjective sense of peace. How do we deal with that? Well, one way in which we can is by focusing on the future hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to flesh this out in a moment, but I want to say at the outset that nothing I'm going to speak to you about today guarantees that your objective stress will go away anytime soon. What I have to say helps to cope with the reality that our stresses don't go away in this life. Now, when we speak about the future hope of Christ, there are many texts of Scripture and also many aspects of that future hope that deal with that future hope. But I want to focus on one in particular. That is to say, one text and one aspect as it relates to peace. And it comes in Isaiah 9:6. You might want to take your Bible and open there, or even pause this, and so you can get that Bible open to that text of Scripture. In Isaiah 9:6, we there meet the Messiah, the Christ, and he is identified at the end of that verse as the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Now, of course, this occurs, if you're letting your eyes wander onto that verse in your Bible, this occurs in a text that's familiar to us, very familiar to us, around Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This was a promise delivered by the prophet Isaiah about 700 years before Jesus the Christ was born. And in it, God through Isaiah gives promises about the nature and the rule of Christ. Now, there is a sense in which Christ is already all the things that Isaiah prophesies. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is right now the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. All those things are true in a real sense right now. But primarily, this text, this passage, this prophecy is focusing on the future reign of Christ, of Jesus Christ, in his coming kingdom. That's why verse 7 goes on to say, "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." Even if you want to argue, which I do not personally hold to, that Jesus is somehow reigning right now, the fact is that we have not seen what these verses are speaking to yet. Now, there's a lot for us to consider in these exceedingly great and precious promises in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, but I want to focus on that one in verse 6 and its allusion in verse 7, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he is the Prince of Peace, and verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Here's the deal. Right now, we constantly face external realities, objective realities, that disturb the peace, and thus they disturb our peace. Now, that's certainly true when it comes to the nations. We're seeing that right now. As I'm speaking to you, there's a lot of angst as to China and its role in this global pandemic. But even over its control of much of our supply chain and the supply chains of many of the Western nations of the earth. We still have a war going on in Afghanistan. We have tensions in Syria. We don't have a hunky-dory relationship with North Korea. It's easy to forget that those objective realities have not gone away. We have objective wars, thus a lack of peace, between some of the nations in this earth. But we also have fights within the nations. We certainly have that in our own nation right now. Right now, at the national, state, and local levels, there are all sorts of skirmishes as to what to do, even at just one issue over what to do in response to the COVID-19 crisis. In our neighboring state of Wisconsin, there are lawsuits from the legislature against the governor. There are governors who are sniping at the president, and the president is sniping at some of the governors. And you can find that all over. And I don't know about you, but that objective external reality threatens my sense of peace. It's hard to know where we're going. And as we face these troubles, we face them even as sensitive individual levels. I don't know about you, but I get concerned right now about things like social unrest, the rights of citizens, health concerns, and just the possibility of increased crime and theft during all of this. All of that stuff, whether it's the international level or down to my neighborhood level, disrupts my sense of peace. You can put this at a really practical level. I find that when I go to the grocery store that people don't want to look at you in the eye anymore. There's a real fear and uncertainty as to what to do. How close can you get? Does somebody have the virus? And then you hear the stories about people getting mad in the stores, about how they got too close to me. Peace is stripped away by those things. The external, objective lack of peace affects my internal, subjective feeling of peace. So how do we respond to this? Well, one thing that a passage like Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 helps us with is to recognize that all of these objective external realities of a lack of peace, these are only temporary. They're only temporary. You see, God has promised that there is a day coming in which all those external objective wars will disappear. That's what Isaiah is promising. You see, Jesus Christ is called here the Prince of Peace. That speaks to his character, and even more, to his essence and to his nature. Jesus Christ is peace himself, and thus his actions will be designed when he comes to reign to bring peace on his throne forever. And the text makes that very clear. Now, it is true that there are some rulers now who have a desire to bring peace. In fact, I would even argue that most of them have that desire. Most of our rulers desire to do the right thing by people whom they govern, Yes, there are power-hungry dictators and pompous windbags who only want the power and the prestige over others as to lord it over them. But most of the leaders that I have met do desire to serve the people that they govern. The trouble is that they are greatly limited. Really limited. They're limited in knowledge, they're limited in power, and they're limited in time. The glorious thing about Isaiah 9:6 is that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who was prophesied to come by Isaiah, he's not limited by either of any of these three things. He's not limited in knowledge, he's not limited in power, and he's not limited in time. The text says that he's the wonderful counselor. That means that he knows what needs to be done. Literally, the idea is a wonder of a counselor. We haven't seen anybody with knowledge like him. He's the mighty God. That means that he's able to accomplish exactly what needs to be done. After all, this is the one through whom the worlds were spoken into existence. And Jesus Christ is not only the mighty God, he's powerful enough to deal with these things, he's also the everlasting Father, which means he's not going to cease to exist. There's not going to be a time in which he doesn't exist anymore, so his plans for us and his power just fade away. Thus, we can say that Jesus Christ is wise enough, powerful enough, and lives long enough, namely forever, to ensure that all of his governing peaceful decisions will be enacted perfectly. Thus, as verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, that means that there is coming a day in which all the things that cause us to lack peace will be taken away. We'll speak another time about the internal realities that Jesus will accomplish for us to bring us peace. But for now, note that those external things, those objective things around us that keep us up at night, those things that worry us, those things that cause our heart rate to rise in anxiety, they will all go away. The troubles that we face now are only temporary. Now, I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, as you're listening to this, that gives me an internal calmness and serenity in the midst of external chaos that often surrounds me. Because I can deal with temporary struggles. A number of years ago, my wife and I were in a little bit of a financial pinch. We had just moved to Minnesota so that I could be the assistant pastor of our church. And we had a house back in Wisconsin where we came from that did not sell right away. In fact, it sat on the market for 16 months. It was fine at first because my wife was working and we could afford the payments on the house and take care of all of the other bills. Well, fast forward about 12 months later, and she was very much pregnant and she had to quit her job. We lost that income and we still had that mortgage payment along with other expenses related to that house, draining our savings month after month after month. And here I am as a soon-to-be new father trying to figure all of this out. Now, God in his grace allowed that that house was to be sold the very month where we were literally out of money. In fact, I remember sitting down with my wife saying, next month, if this house is not sold, I don't know what we're going to do financially. Our savings was drained. And so we had sat down during that time period to figure out where we had to cut some of our expenses. We gave up some things that were luxuries, but we also gave up some things that were near necessities. And it stung. But one of the things that we knew was all of that was temporary. We knew that if we did the right things financially, that likely there might be a 6-month, 12-month period until we were back up on our financial feet. And that is what happened. So we could endure knowing that there was goodness and peace, in this case financial peace, on the other side. If you have ever had to go through rehab for an injury or surgery, you know that there is real pain to go through. The physical therapist pushes you to do things that just plain hurt. But you know that it's temporary. You know that there's relief at the other end, and so you can endure and have peace because there's an end to what you're facing. A number of years ago, I built a house, and I have to tell you, if you've never done that, that is an external, objective reality that brings internal, subjective stress. It was 18 months of exhaustion to try and get that thing done. It was hard on me. It was hard on my wife. It was hard on my kids. It was hard on everybody. But I knew it was temporary, and that gave us hope and even peace in the midst of the storm. Now, here's the thing. As we age and we mature, we come to realize that there is just one storm after another in our lives. I think we all like to believe, and it's usually a lie, that next week, next month, next year will get better, and it just doesn't. Welcome to adulting, as people like to say today. But here's the thing. There is a day coming, maybe in a year, maybe in a month, maybe in a week, maybe tomorrow, maybe today, in which our Lord Jesus Christ will come, and he will begin his governance, and he will rule in peace. And guess what? At that point, truly, all the storms of life will be taken away. We can have hope in the future reign of Christ, and knowing that is one more ingredient in our recipe to finding peace. I'm praying for you that God would give you peace in the midst of the storms of life, and I pray that even today and in the weeks to come, that you would find peace knowing that Jesus is going to come and reign, and all those storms will be taken away. Praise God for this, praise Jesus for this, and praise the Holy Spirit who indwells us and impresses this on our hearts. Thank you for listening and tuning in today. God bless you, and the Lord be with you all.